So after months of delay, we're finally about to begin a public inquiry into foreign interference in Canada, and specifically Chinese meddling in Canadian democracy and in our society. And that's been prompted, obviously, by some really shocking revelations about the nature of those operations, the extent to which China's government is trying to influence foreign policy in Canada, have influence over decision makers, intimidate expat communities in the diaspora, and just overall to undermine Canadian confidence in our institutions. But as much as we've been shocked by what's come to light as of late, it may just be the tip of the iceberg. It's an important new book that's now out, and some really important background, I guess, as we get into this public inquiry, and the hope that we can bring all of this to the surface and finally do something to counter it. The book is called The Mosaic Effect, How the Chinese Communist Party Started a Hybrid War in America's Backyard. It's co-authored by Scott McGregor, who's a former military and RCMP intelligence officer, and Ina Mitchell, who's a BC-based investigative journalist and filmmaker. Both of them are on the line with us here this afternoon. Scott, Ina, so great to have you with us here. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Rob. Good to have you on your show. Thanks.
Thanks for having us.
So let's start with you, Scott, because, I mean, you've worked in this world. You've seen the stories that have come to light as of late. But why was it important from your perspective to go deeper and to, you know, share this story?
Well, I think a lot of the sentiment around what's happening with Chinese interference has gained a lot of attention by Canadians. And that kind of falls in with my thinking about doing the book, which is to create awareness around the threat that China poses to not just Canada, but the United States and the Five Eyes and the world, to be honest.
Yeah, and I pick up on that because, I mean, you know, this has become a huge story in Canada. And, you know, I think Canadians have been shocked by what's already come to light. We'll surely be shocked by a lot of what's in this book. But what do you see as the important story to be told?
Yeah, I think that all of us have read the headlines about foreign interference in Canada by China. But Canadians are kind of being left to guess just how it all connects together, how it all ties together. And I think that most Canadians are sort of hoping that the inquiry next year might tell us what that is. But that's going to take years. And I think our book does really aim to answer the big question, you know, why are we hearing so much about China in Canada all of the time? And what is China doing in Canada? Is there something bigger at play? And I think the book does provide some surprising answers. It's really the CCP's playbook in the West. And we provide some interesting case studies and some, you know, and more importantly, I think we show how it all connects and provide some answers to all these headlines we keep seeing.
Right. I mean, Scott, further to that, what is China's ultimate objective here?
Well, China has pretty much come out and stated openly that they seek global domination by 2049. You know, that's evidenced in some of their wolf politics and also in their China white paper. So, yeah, I would say that when Ina mentions something's larger at play, that, yeah, that's part of what China's goal is. I don't think there's any question about the activity we're seeing in the South China Sea, Taiwan, et cetera. It's connectivity with Iran and other nations. I'd say there's things to be worried about.
And, you know, further to that, I mean, you know, to what extent is this unique to Canada? Because China has certainly targeted the U.S., you know, Australia, other Western countries. But there seems to be some particular concern about the extent to which they've been able to infiltrate and operate in Canada.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say it's quite a statement, but I would say it's the base of operations for China is in Canada. We are the USA's neighbor. We are a resource-rich country. We're very welcoming. We're kind of complacent. Our military isn't really particularly strong. There's lots of reasons for why they're here. But mostly it's because we are sharing the longest undefended border with their biggest enemy, which is the United States.
Right. Scott, one of the revelations, too, in the book that's come to light, and this goes back, you know, 25 years, you know, where there's been concern in U.S. intelligence. There was even a memo at the time about the concern, the level of concern with what was happening in Canada.
This is very true. And the document I believe you're referring to is in the book. So that's Operation Dragon Lord. So that's basically looking at the threat inside Canada and how it's, you know, causing national security concerns for the United States. And like you said, that was 25 years ago. So the advancement of that threat has increased dramatically. And through my work, in my my career, we saw information that we shared with the United States that was briefed in the Pentagon. And that's about the concern of what's going on in Canada. So this is pretty high stakes stuff. There's a definite awareness by the United States of what's going on in Canada now, and how to deal with that, I think, is going to be tied to some of it tied to the public inquiry, but also about how Canadians react to the information that they're being shared, that's being shared with them now. And what stand is Canada going to take? There's a lot of change coming, and there's a lot of conflict in the air. So I think potentially the Americans are going to start to ask some questions about what's going on in Canada.
Well, no kidding. But I mean, further to that, Scott, though, just to follow up on that, because so if already by 98, 99, the Americans are concerned about the extent to which China is operating in Canada, has infiltrated corridors of power in Canada, that implies that, the problem begins much before that, much sooner than that.
I would agree with that. I would say that, this has been around for a long time. There's a lot of history to what's transpired, and there's connectivity between other nations other than just China. The book is mainly focused on China, but, there's definite connections and concerns between Iran, China, and the cartels, which is something that's been mentioned in the Dirty Money reports by Peter German during the Cullen Commission, or prior to the Cullen Commission. And a lot of that information was provided by myself and other colleagues of mine. So, yeah, the worry is definitely there. I'm hoping government starts to take a stronger stance on addressing it. But there's going to need to be a lot of changes, legislative changes, and just political will to get some of this stuff done has to change.
Yeah. Let me ask you, what have we learned about the nature of these operations, right? Some of the revelations we've seen more recently where, China's interfering in elections or interfering in nomination races, really trying to influence politicians, the political makeup of parliament and legislatures. We've seen targeting of expat communities, media manipulation or propaganda that China has tried to spread. So that covers some of it, but what are the other forms in which these operations take?
Well, it's interesting. One of the threads in the book is the vast United Front network in Canada. Mm-hmm. And the United Front is part of the CCP apparatus. And in the book, we present a case that the CCP is trying to create these sort of parallel societies in Canada. So almost like a little mini China within Canada. And they do this by creating hundreds of homegrown nonprofits and hometown associations. And through these groups, they hide their true intentions. So they're sort of act as a front. There's a certain legitimacy to them as well. But for the most part, they're set up to create the sort of veneer of respectability. And they'll use names like art and culture and trade and sports, anti-racism even. And like I said, there's some legitimacy to some of what they do. But, actually the Chinese police stations we've been hearing so much about is hidden within some of these groups. So we've heard about the Chinese police station in Richmond through the Wenzhou Friendship Society. That's exactly what I mean when I say that they've been creating these nonprofit hometown associations and nonprofit groups. And they hide these various, they hide their activities behind these. So they use these groups also to set up events where they invite politicians to them, and they serve a couple of purposes. So one would be for propaganda for China, and the other is to build a relationship with politically connected people. And they use them for talent poaching, and they also use them really to control overseas diaspora. So it really is something that China needs to, it really is something Canada needs to do to expose this. And we also, I hate to say it, but we're actually financially supporting these groups. We're paying thousands of dollars a year to support these groups. And I think, everybody's, in addition to the inquiry, is hoping that a registry might help expose this. But unless we actually put these Canadian groups, these proxy groups that are working for these foreign regimes on the registry will be a complete failure.
Scott, I wanted to ask about your time at the inside and whether there was any attention being paid by top officials or political leaders to any of this. You know, Chinese operations, the overlap with the triads, the money laundering, what was going on in BC and BC casinos, all of these issues. We were hearing about them at the time, but was there a willingness to act on any of this?
I would say that there was a willingness of certain people to try to do something about it. And then I think there was a lot of people that were more worried about protecting themselves, which is what we saw in the Cullen Commission. Yes, when I first briefed then Attorney General Eby, he was shocked at what he was hearing because I was speaking in a much broader scope than just money laundering. Mm-hmm. We were talking about transnational organized crime and its nexus to gambling in British Columbia. And we also had some discussions in chambers about real estate and some other things. And so when we look at it from a much larger perspective, the Cullen Commission really should have been about hybrid war and at a minimum transnational organized crime, which is just a subcomponent of hybrid war, instead of money laundering. You know, money laundering falls under something called threat finance. It's more of a symptom than the illness. And so it would be, you know, something for this commission, this inquiry that's coming, this national inquiry, to really change the scope, of, not just towards foreign interference, but to look at all aspects and how these things are connected. Because focusing in on just foreign interference is I'm afraid it'll be a whitewash. Right. I think people will be just trying to protect themselves again. And we won't find the solutions that are needed. Replacing the government is not the solution. Putting in frameworks that ensure the information that is shared from intelligence to politicians is properly addressed.
Well, that's the thing, Scott. I mean, you know, it feels like things have changed, but, you know, have they? I mean, what's your level of optimism that this inquiry is going to be different or that these issues are getting the attention now they finally deserve?
I mean, if I'm going to be completely honest, I have zero expectations with the inquiry. I think it will be nice to have information in the public space that a lot of Canadians aren't aware of. However, I don't think that it will affect the change that everyone's hoping for. I believe that there will be some things that are highlighted. Unfortunately, Ottawa tends to think Ottawa knows what's going on in the country, and I think it's rather evident that that's not a very good understanding. I think that the ground truth comes from the people that know these things, people that we've worked with, and if people take a chance on this book and read about it, I think they're going to be shocked at who's involved, because there's names in the book, there's organizations in the book. And they'll be very surprised at the scope and depth of what's going on.
And so, you know, then based on your work here and what you've uncovered and what you've learned through this whole process, I mean, what does it tell us about what's needed? What are the steps Canada needs to take to deal with all of this?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. You know, we hear a lot about politicians being compromised, and I think that's the big concern everybody has. But one of the untold stories and something that you just never hear about is that the United Front has done a masterful job of installing people within the government, within industry. So whether it's police departments or whether it's installing assistants and aides to politicians, it's not necessarily the politicians that are compromised, but rather the assistants or the people that are embedded within the government and within various industries who are advising these people to make these decisions. And I think really that is probably the untold story that we're just not hearing. And I hope that that will come out. I hope it comes out in the book, but I certainly hope that that is something that the public is going to start to look. And of course, we have to be concerned too about, we don't want to point fingers at people and you know, everybody's a bad guy. Everybody's a spy.
Yeah.
But, I guess something I don't know that I have the answer to, but I do know that this is one of the big problems that we have is really how much the United Front has installed people within industry and governments to provide direction and advice that is more in the best interest of Beijing and not Canada.
An important contribution to this conversation. The book is out now. It's called The Mosaic Effect, How the Chinese Communist Party Started a Hybrid War in America's Backyard. Scott, Ina, thanks to both of you for joining us here today. Really appreciate this.
Thanks for having us.
My pleasure.
Okay, there you go. Scott McGregor and Ina Mitchell. Scott, as mentioned, former military and RCMP intelligence official. Ina is an investigative journalist and filmmaker. Their book, The Mosaic Effect, it's out now from Optimum Publishing, optimumpublishinginternational.com. Thanks for downloading and listening to the podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you find your podcast. You can also find me on Twitter at Rob Breckenridge. And you can email me, rob@770chqr.com. Talk to you next time.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.